We do have a wonderful opportunity to be together today to bring our worship and our praise and our adoration before our God and our Father, our Lord and Savior. And as we assemble this morning, we hope that is your purpose as we have come to sing and to pray and to partake of the Lord's Supper, to open His Word, to study more about His life and the things that He has left for us. These should be the things we desire this morning. If you're visiting with us, we hope that you are here for that purpose also, to worship in spirit and in truth. Yesterday morning at the house, we were watching a pair of hawks. We have hawks that fly in the backyard there from time to time, and this was a pair. Diane's got a dead tree out there that she has decorated, and they were sitting on this tree. And they were watching a squirrel, and the squirrel would run around a little bit, and one of the hawks would swoop after it. And again, there was this back and forth. And finally, the hawk came down on the ground. The squirrel was there, and they were face to face. And the squirrel did not back down. If the squirrel would have turned to run away, that hawk probably would have grabbed it. But the squirrel was smart enough to go face to face with that hawk. And there was another hawk that was sitting there that was watching. Never did get the squirrel. I think the squirrel ran away, and eventually the hawks went away, and they were very beautiful. Brought to my mind of how we need to stand against the evil one, against Satan and against sin. If we turn our back and we try to run away, he's got a great opportunity to grab us. When we do not stand face to face and toe to toe, and be strong, having the armor of God, then we have a good opportunity to fail, and maybe even to be lost. You can see that in nature. I think it's something we need to see also in our spiritual lives. I had a PowerPoint that I made up last night, really good one, and I forgot it this morning. So we are without a PowerPoint. You're going to have to actually turn to the passages of Scripture. I don't have a whole lot of them this morning, but I hope that you will do that. Our thought this morning is a question: what is your message to the world? What is your message to the world? What do people see in you? Brian read to us in John chapter 17. We see here that Jesus washes the disciples' feet in John chapter 13 after he's instituted the Lord's Supper. John's the only one that records that. And then Jesus goes on to tell Judas, what you're going to do, do quickly. And he leaves. And he tells the 11 then that I'm going away, and where I'm going, you cannot follow. And they are very distraught about this, and they don't understand this. But Jesus goes on in chapter 14 again, which only John records, and says, I'm going to leave you a helper, an aider, or a comforter, one that will bring to your remembrance all things that I have taught to you. And he assures them that he will leave them with his peace. In chapter 17, then we see a prayer. And again, John is the only one that records this. This is between the institution of the Lord's Supper and leaving and going out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus, first of all, prays about himself. And he says, Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with you in the beginning before the world was. And then he prays for these disciples, for these 11. And as Brian read to us in verse 13, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. The Lord's concern was these 11. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. We are to live in the world. If you're a Christian, you're to be among those people that are of the world. There have been those that have tried to fashion their community so it's just those individuals, sometimes maybe as the Mennonites or as the Quakers. Those that will have their rules within, you don't have any outsiders, that you can live without the temptations of sin. But at the same time, you have no influence, no message that you're giving to the world. And the Lord said, this is the reason I'm leaving my disciples in the world, is for this purpose. And we all send a message to those that we are around, to those that are of the world. I'd like to notice one more verse, verse 19. Jesus says, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. The Lord says, I sanctify myself for them. I thought Jesus sanctified himself and died for all of us. On the cross, shedding his blood, forgiveness of sins. Yes. But he specifically sanctified himself for them. Do we get this? That's the reason that we sanctify ourselves, is for those that we can influence. Those that are our family. Those that are our brothers and sisters in Christ. But then especially those who are of the world. What is your message to the world? We send a message of who we are by the choices we make every day and every hour and even every minute. A lot of these choices are insignificant. What are you going to have for lunch? Doesn't really matter. But there are choices that we make in our life that are very significant. Sometimes the places we go, the people that we associate with, the things that we involve ourselves in. Sometimes these are life-altering choices we make. Sometimes between life and death, even by the choices we make. And maybe more important than life and death physically is spiritual life and death. You make choices every day that's going to determine your message to the world and eventually where you will spend eternity. We usually do exactly what we want to do. You know, for some reason, everybody gets the idea, well, if I've got a reason I'm not going to do something or excuse, I need to tell the preacher. The preacher hears all the excuses of this, that, and the other. And that's fine. I appreciate really knowing those, especially if somebody's sick or has some difficulty. But I can't excuse you. And many times it's just the choice that you are making. We do usually what we want to do. We usually try to arrange our spiritual duties around our earthly desires. I've got this and this and this that I want to do physically, so I'll try to work my spiritual responsibilities in between this. And you know what usually falls aside? It's the spiritual responsibilities. When you look at your life and you know there are things that you're failing to do, is it because you're fulfilling all of your earthly desires and those things are going by the wayside? We make choices. We usually do exactly what we want to do. My thought this morning, though, is what is your message to the world? First thought is you will send a message to the world. People will look at you. People will see what you are and these choices that you are making. You will send a message to the world. You're sending a message right now to people as you assemble, as you worship, as you put the Lord first. Many of you probably left this morning, and I know it was raining, but at least a lot of days, we've got neighbors that see us leave. They know we leave every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday evening. They see that. That does have an impression on them. Sometimes I'm sure some of them think, oh man, how foolish that person is giving up this time that they could be doing other things. And I think one of these days you will be very sorrowful that you did not use your time to come and worship the Lord. When we make this choice to put the Lord first, we are sending a message to the world and even to others. Turning back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and beginning in verse 25, I've got several verses I'd like to read here. Hope you will turn over there with me. In verse 24, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or despise the one and serve the other. You cannot serve God and wealth or mammon or riches." Talking about choices. We make this choice of who we're going to serve or what we're going to serve. Now, verse 25, he begins and says, "For this reason, I say to you." For what reason? The reason, because you can only serve one master. "For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" If you're serving God, you're not worried about these things. If you're worried about riches or wealth or mammon, then that's what you're serving. For this reason, the Lord says, you do not need to worry if you are serving God. "Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they?" I'm always out feeding the birds. We've got several bird feeders of finches. We've got a couple just beautiful goldfinches. They are a bright gold and a black. And again, that's probably why these hawks.